For anyone out there who doesn't know who you are yet, Anthony, we'd love to hear a bit about your story so you could kind of express that to our audience.
Where anybody knows me, I mean, it generally starts at the salesblog.com, and you gents do some digital marketing, so you know the value of content. And I was watching Seth Godin in 2008 and 2009, just publishing a blog post every day. And I sort of just got the idea, like, well, I should be doing this. And if you go back, I've left my archives on the blog, but if you go back and look at like 2008, you're like, dude, you had nothing to say. Well, you're not creating content. You're just trying to have a blog. And it took a little while for me to understand what the format was and what the medium was for sharing ideas. And I started writing every day on December 28th, 2009. I've been writing every day since there. I told my wife when I started this journey that I was going to be a professional speaker and do workshops and things of that nature. And I told her I was going to blog every day. I was going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning instead of 6:30. And she said, "I have no idea what you're talking about whatsoever, but you know, I support you." And it's been that journey for me. But it took me about a year before I started speaking, doing keynotes. And now I've written a couple books. I've got a third book coming out in October called Eat Their Lunch. The first one was called The Only Sales Guide You'll Ever Need, sort of an unfortunate title if you're going to keep writing books, you know. So my clients would tease me, the only other sales guide you're ever going to need. The second book was The Lost Art of Closing. And I speak, I consult, I coach, and I do workshops for companies that are interested in transforming their sales results. That's where I spend most of my time. I still also blog every day, and I'm getting ready to relaunch my YouTube channel after having to stop that to do a bunch of videos for an online platform. So that's a little bit.
No doubt. Awesome stuff, Anthony. So me and Scott have spent the last few days trawling through your YouTube content, your previous YouTube content. And what we've actually done is compile a few questions from some of the key topics that you actually discussed within some of those videos, which we would love to dive into today. So the first one that we actually came across was a philosophy, I suppose, that you have around human relationships and sales. And that philosophy is that when it comes to human relationships, when it comes to sales, slow is actually fast. Could you explain a bit what you mean about by that?
Yeah, and fast is actually slow. And what happens in human beings is that we're not always lined up in the same place, and especially in commercial relationships. So I know what you need to do, but you don't know what you need to do. So we're this far apart. And so what some people try to do is to say, "I'm going to make you jump up here to where I am and know what you need to do by telling you what you need to do." But that doesn't generally work. Generally, what happens is somebody has to explore, why should I change at all? And if I should change, you know, how am I going to make that change? And am I going to be able to get the people on my team to go along with this? And is it actually going to work? And then should I do this change, whatever this initiative is, with you or with someone else? And so we get disconnected. You guys are young gents, so it's walking into the bar and saying, "Your place or mine." You know, and a reasonable woman would say something like, you know, "Shouldn't like coffee come before that? And then maybe lunch, and then maybe dinner in a movie, but with my friends because I don't know you yet and it might be awkward." You know, there's a stage that human relationships, we don't just walk in and immediately have trust and throw our advice at people. And ultimately, what happens with humans when one is going faster than the other, you become disconnected. And when you become disconnected and you try to actually go faster, what you're doing is slowing the process down. So what I would tell you, what I mean by fast is slow and slow is fast, is that if you go back and you meet that person where they are and you help figure out where they are and then help them take the steps that they need to move forward, then you can stay connected through that process
Sure.
and you can help them get where they need to go. But I think that we rush things, particularly in sales, because we're working against a clock. We have quarters, we're measured on quarters. We have quotas, we're measured on quotas. The client doesn't have a quarter or a quota that they're playing against as it pertains to buying from us. So if you slow down and you take care of making sure that they have everything that they need to have to take the next step, you go a lot faster.
I think that's very,
Yeah.
very interesting in terms of the way that you said that. I think, excuse me, we talked on our last video with Andy Bands about the importance of communication and really taking these people on the journey. You're not just getting someone to buy your service or product. You're there to create value and really start to open up the doors to what could be possible.
Right.
So I think that's super, super important. And I think, you know, what you not want to do is rush those relationships and actually build those solid value bombs each step at a time. So as the trust builds, the confidence also builds with the prospect. So what are your thoughts around building that confidence initially?
That's absolutely correct. And what happens is if you develop the relationship and then you deliver and you create trust and you continue to develop down that path later on, you know, so people say things like never pitch a client. Well, if I've worked with somebody for 3 years, I'm going to walk in the room and I'm going to say, Scott, let me pitch you, bro. I got something for you here. You need to see this. And if we have the relationship, you're going to say, what do you have? I want to see that, you know, and it's the first pitch where I don't know you, where you're an unknown, that's different. But later on, things go a lot faster because we already have the relationship. I trust you, you trust me. So then we can just move forward faster. Your question was about confidence.
Mm.
Yeah, would you repeat it for me?
So how to someone new into sales, to someone who's just starting out, gaining that confidence is everything. Being able to build that momentum from point A to point B. So to all our sales audience out there, someone who's just starting, someone who's on their new venture, what kind of pointers would you give those people in terms of firstly building the confidence to call or to prospect, and secondly, the confidence to take it from point A to point B?
Yeah, confidence is the differentiator for a lot of us. I mean, if you're confident, then it makes me believe that what you're saying is true because you believe it's true.
Mm.
There's a couple of things that I would tell you that you have to think about. The reason that younger salespeople lack confidence is because they don't have the experience set. And because they don't have the experiences, they tend to worry about whether or not they're going to make a mistake or whether they know enough or something like that. So that we have all these things that we think about. When I started selling, I was probably 23 and I had a ponytail down in my waist. I'm fronting a hair metal band and I would walk in and know, like, I already have all these things going against me. But being young is another one, because I'm sitting across from a 50-year-old guy running a $2 billion business. And that person's thinking to himself, what could this person know? I mean, what could they know? So competence is the first thing. And I would tell you, you have to really, really work hard to understand your business. Because when you understand your business, you can understand the intersection of your business and the client's business. And when you start to understand the intersection of where those two businesses come together, you can finally realize that the client knows their business better than you ever will. And you know your business better than they ever will. But while they're trying to make a decision for one company, you're serving 200 companies. So your depth of experience right where those two businesses comes together grows. How do you get that? Time, number one. Number two, you can improve it by hanging around reps that are ahead of you on the path and then listening to them and asking them questions. I always tell young people, get one of the Moleskine notebooks. And then when you're on a call with somebody who's got greater experience or a subject matter expert, write down every question they ask, write down every question the client asks, write down the answers to those questions, and then grill the person you're on a call with when you leave that call to say, why did you ask that question? Where were you trying to take them? What would you expect the answer to be? And what if they would have said something different than what you wanted? And if you do that 5 or 6 times, you start to understand, okay, so there's this first and second level of questions that now I know how to get through.
Mm.
The other thing that I would tell you that I did is I acknowledge that I'm dumb. I just want to be less dumb. So there's so many things that you can't know, but you can know a little more than you know right now. So I would go to grown-ups at the time and tell somebody, I would ask this question. I would say, what should someone in my role know about your business to really understand the strategic outcomes you're trying to get? And how should somebody like me think about serving you to help you get those outcomes? And then I would shut up and listen to them teach me their business. Yeah. And they would teach me their business. And I did this so many times in retail distribution where I would ask, and I still remember the client, Dallas Mulder, it was Structure at the time. They're part of the Limited. And he explained throughput to me. How do you measure, you know, how much goes from this side and the labor costs and everything in between, and how are they looking at that and how they measure it? And then I started asking other people to explain that to me. about the fifth call I went in, I just walked in and said, what are you guys doing to improve your throughput? And they're like, throughput? you know about throughput? Like, you're the first salesperson that understands how we're measuring the investment that we make in labor. And all of a sudden I was an interesting person, but mm-hmm. it takes time. So you can't rush the process, but you can do the work. And again, fast is slow and slow is fast. If you want to go faster, do the work now, gain the competency, ask the questions, study, become an expert. You only need two things to be a trusted advisor, trust and advice. And if you don't have the advice, you're not a trusted advisor. So you got to work on that.
Absolutely. I think that's a beautiful transition actually into becoming a trusted advisor and the way that prospects actually perceive you. When you first get onto a call with a prospect, there's always going to be that little bit of, I don't want to say attention, but that little bit of skepticism on what you're actually trying to achieve with the call. So do you have any pointers for sales reps, sales professionals who are starting the very beginning of that relationship with their new prospect to being perceived as quickly as possible as a trusted advisor instead of just another salesperson?
Are you talking about on the phone?
Yeah, on the phone.
Yeah, on the phone. So yeah, there's a couple things I'll tell you. And the new book basically follows on to the Lost Art of Closing that covers some of this. But if I call you and I say, Cameron, hey, it's Anthony Anarino. I'm with XYZ. Love to stop by, introduce myself, tell you all about my company, all the solutions we have that help companies like yours get better results in these areas. What works better for you, Tuesday at 10 a.m. or Wednesday at 1 in the afternoon? There's just no value in that. Mm. There's just no value. I don't sound like a trusted advisor. I don't sound like I know anything. Mm. And I might sound like a nuisance or somebody that you're trying to avoid because all I said was I want to talk about me. Well, that should be interesting, right? And then I'm going to talk about my company. Can't wait to see your slide deck, bro. That'll be good. It's going to have a footprint to show me your global capabilities. And then you're going to pitch me your solution. Not interested. There's no value for me. There's value for you because you get to try to make a sale. But if I called you and said, Cameron, hey, it's Anthony Anarino with XYZ. And listen, I'm calling you today because I want to ask you for a 20-minute meet and greet where I can share with you an executive briefing on the four trends that we see impacting businesses like yours right now. Some of the questions we're asking with our clients and trying to answer so that we can all perform better. And maybe I can share with you a few things that we're seeing that are working. What do you look like Thursday? It's a 20-minute meet and greet, and I'll leave you with the deck. And there's a set of questions here that you can challenge your management team with, whether we ever do business or not. What do you look like Thursday for a 20-minute meeting? Mm-hmm. Which is better?
Yeah, it's completely just polar opposite, isn't it?
And it's because I have to be the trusted advisor. I have to know things about the industry that you don't know. I have to be able to talk about them. I have to be able to share with you some of the things that you might consider, some things you might think about or questions you might ask. But I want to establish that I'm a trusted advisor. I'm a peer first conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't want to try to build to that over time. I want to explain that I already have the insights and the ideas.
Mm. No doubt. Yeah, absolutely. Nice. So that's becoming a trusted advisor. That's gaining that initial trust point. So what about further down the relationship when it's time to make that prospect commit to changing, commit to investing in what it is that you're offering here? How do you make that transition from a trusted advisor, a great relationship, to actually someone consulting to make a decision about how you can collaborate?
Yeah, you know, the trusted advisor does have to, I mean, you can't be a trusted advisor and not have the advice. And so that means the advice is, this is what we think the right answer is for you. This is the step that you need to take. And we're confident in that because we have user values. Mm. In the second book I wrote, The Lost Art of Closing, which is an unfortunate title because people are afraid of the word closing, but it's not a smarmy, pushy, manipulative kind of approach that I teach. It's just basically understanding what are the commitments that the client has to make to be comfortable moving forward. Mm. And the way that that starts is, first, I have to get you to give me time. And then second, I have to get you to explore change. So the four trends and the idea of, let me explain to you what the world looks like. And that's when people start to say, hey, we're challenged with some of these things too. So help me understand what some of my choices are. Mm-hmm. Once they explore change, then you do have to ask, does it make sense to change? Mm-hmm. Salespeople are petrified of this question because they don't want to hear a no. Mm-hmm. But at some point I have to say, Scott, listen, based on what we just talked about together, does it make sense for us to pursue something that would change this and get you the better future state we've been talking about? And are we going to be able to get the resources and the consensus from your team to be able to do something like this right now? Or is there something else we should be doing together?
Yeah.
But if they don't, if they say like, I don't think this is the right time for us right now. Okay, cool. Then I need to look for something else. What happens to salespeople is they get all the way down to the end of the process and they get a no decision because they really weren't committed to changing. They were only committed to exploring. We never got really past discovery. Mm. Then I need collaboration. So I'm going to collaborate on what the solution is because I want to give them something that they can say yes to. Mm-hmm. And then I need consensus in big companies. I'm going to need 7-8 people in a room that are all going to be involved in that decision so they can say yes. And then I need to get a commitment to invest, a commitment to review the solution to make sure it's exactly right before I hand it over. And then I'm going to ask to control the process and have a conversation to resolve their concerns after they talk about it. And then you can ask for the decision. So this just tends to be the things that happen in that conversation. But at that point, I do have to say, Scott Cameron, you know, we've done this work together. I think everything is exactly what it should be. I think we built a nice solution. And unless you need something else, I'd like to ask you to sign a contract so I can put this in place for you.
Sure.
Can I go ahead and sort this for you? You know, that's it. So
if, yeah, you don't
I'm going to ask. Yeah. And I'm going to ask because I've done the work and I believe I deserve it. I've done all the work to put this in place and I'm asking for the business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that does make you consultative and it makes you a trusted advisor.
Of course, because what you don't want to be doing is creating a selling atmosphere. You want to be creating a buying atmosphere. So really putting those people, really just deep pressure in the situation. You know, if you like the work, great. Let's set something up. If not, it's no big deal. My whole goal is to serve you in some way or form. And it's so much, and it's my real thought or imagination is to make you see as much value as possible. Mm-hmm. And it would take that then into a sale. So I think buying atmosphere is really, really important in sales.
I think what it all comes down to and what you're really saying here, Anthony, is that by putting in the work and putting in the attention to your prospects and working with them and truly understanding their needs and then providing the right solutions and the right advice, then you have actually at that point earned the right to ask for their business. And if it is a fit, then there's no reason that shouldn't go ahead. And you know, you can't close everyone, you can't sell everyone, and not everyone is going to be a right fit. But I think as a core philosophy, if you can actually go down that route of asking the right questions, of listening, and actually providing solutions that matter to that prospect, then you're going to win eventually.
I think so. And I mean, you rattled off a whole bunch of things there. Selling is a lot of things. I mean, it's about the conversations of value that you have. It's about the relationships that you develop. It's about your understanding. It's about your ability to listen. It's almost like leadership. If you go out and search the internet for like what attributes make a great leader, you'll come back with 64 billion things, you know, that go into being a good leader. And it's the same for salespeople. You know, so much of it is your presence, your ability to create value, your situational knowledge or your experiences. There's all these factors that weigh into it and you don't get to win 100%. I think selling is more like the MMA than it is boxing. You know, you could be 5-7 in world championships, you know, you don't have to go undefeated and no one does in sales, but you should win the ones that are right for you and you should put the time in. So my admonition, I guess, for salespeople is do the work and fast is slow. Take time with people, care about making sure that they get what they want, care about having the conversations. Mm-hmm. If you get that part right, things get a lot easier. People want to work with someone, I think, if I were to boil it down to one thing, somebody that cares enough about them to help them get the result. And caring is probably the killer app in sales.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Agreed. I think that's a great way to round things off, Anthony. That's that's perfect. So thank you so much. There's some great value there for our audience and they're going to be really, really impressed, I think, with some of this knowledge, some of these insights, and definitely a lot of key takeaways from there. So Anthony, where can we find you? Where can we find your books? Where can we find your information online? Where can we go next?
TheSalesBlog.com. That's the best place to go. And you definitely want to sign up for the Sunday newsletter. It's my favorite piece of work every week. Mm-hmm. And also youtube.com/AnArena. It's maybe where you guys found me, huh?
Yep. Absolutely.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, YouTube's a big place now. And I'll connect with you on LinkedIn. When you go to the blog, there's all the places to connect, Instagram and all those places. So wherever I can serve you, just connect there.
Perfect.
Amazing. Thank you so much. It's been a real, real pleasure learning more about your process and strategies. And to our wider audience out there listening, I think this has been incredible and invaluable 20 minutes here. These are ideas we can start taking into our sales journeys on Monday. Mm-hmm. And we'd love to hear your guys' thoughts and comments. So comment below with any sort of stories that you have or any processes we've been through. I think we'd love to hear them. And good luck on your journeys.